there were times when I thought, oh my God, what am I doing here? I don't know if I can keep doing this. And then I'd get a testimonial of somebody saying, oh my God, this changed my life. This is the most wonderful thing. And boy, I was all revved up again, ready to go.
This is Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, a podcast that explores why Montana leads the nation in entrepreneurship and business startups. I'm Arnie Sherman. Anel Sports Bras is a successful women's wear company based in Haver, a small college town in north central Montana. For founder Renelle Broughton, necessity became the mother of invention. As an avid volleyball player, she needed bras designed for active, full-figured women and couldn't find any. So Renelle took on the challenge of designing one herself. In 1993, with the help of her mother, a skilled seamstress, Renelle designed a patchwork prototype. Anel Sports Bras has grown into a thriving business with many enthusiastic customers, including Oprah Winfrey, supermodel Ashley Graham, actress Ellie Kemper, and a who's who of Olympic and professional athletes. Today on Can Do Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, we're talking with Renelle about her business's rise from startup to industry leader and the lessons she learned along the way. Production support for Can Do comes from the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives, and from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans, and from Blackfoot, providing communication solutions for Montana businesses, plus opportunities like C2M Beta, an innovation lab aimed at helping startups thrive. C2MBeta.com. Welcome to the show, Renelle.
Thank you.
Renelle is joining us today from her office in Haver, Montana. So tell me a little bit about the beginnings of Renelle.
I had invented a sports bra for myself because I couldn't find one that worked. And I had really no intention of going into business with it. I just needed a product myself and couldn't find it. In fact, I would take other sports bras and try to revamp them to make them work better. I tried that for a while and that wasn't working. And so I just went to my mother and said, okay, let's get in your sewing kit here and come up with something for me that works. We made a bra. I used it for probably 2 years. And, you know, I would tell my friends about it and they were intrigued. And actually one of my friends that I played volleyball with, her father was very good with patents and things like that. He used to work that in Chicago, and then he had moved to Montana, to Kalispell, to retire. And she said, you need to talk to my dad about this. She said, you should get a patent on it. And I kind of laughed, you know, and I thought, well, you know, I doubt whether that would ever happen. Hadn't really been on my radar. And we thought, well, what the heck, let's go talk to him, see what he says. And so we did, and we did a patent search on it. So they came back with that we had a 60-40 chance to obtain a patent on it. And, of course, we thought, well, that's like 50-50, you know. You put in a couple thousand dollars to try to get a patent, and you're just throwing it away. And so we had decided to not do that, but we thought, well, we'll go talk to Bill. That was my friend's father, again, and show him what we got. And when he saw it, he said, oh, my God, this is great. You need to try this. And we kind of went, oh, really? So we bit the bullet. And I think it was, like I said, probably around $2,000 at that time. And we put the money in and went for the patent. And we got turned down the first time. We had like 16 claims in there. Had a patent attorney obviously draw it up for us, which I didn't even understand what the patent said. But anyway, we put it through and it came back rejected. All 16 claims were rejected. And so we went back to the patent attorney and he said, okay, let's redo this a little bit. And so we submitted it again. And this time we had 25 claims. And it came back, they were all accepted.
That was lucky.
Yeah, well, it was weird, I thought. I thought, you know, the first one, you reject all of them, and the second one, you accept all. So then I got to wondering, I wonder if they just make sure you're serious about it first before they give you one. I don't know. So that's how it started.
So this is back in the early 90s. You were working as a barber, and you were you avocationally were a volleyball player, and you mentioned that sports bras or something similar that was available at the time didn't work for you, and obviously didn't work for other women. What about them didn't work, and what about your sports bra solves that problem?
You know, I'm not saying that the other sports bras don't work. They do work for some people. But what I felt the industry hadn't done yet is take care of the C cup and up. I was like a D or double D at that time, still am, I guess. And it just would not hold me the way I wanted to be held when I was doing sports. I think they were mostly made for, you know, the smaller-breasted women that were a lot of times in sports. They didn't think that maybe there was women out there that were larger-breasted, and they would love to play sports, but they didn't have a sports bra that worked for them. So I thought, geez, there's got to be, I can't be the only one out there with this problem. And that's what I kept telling myself through the whole process was, I can't be the only one. I can't be the only one. And so that's how it got started.
You weren't the only one, because your bra has been called by many a game changer, which means to me it allowed a lot of women to be able to participate in sports that couldn't have before. So you started out not knowing you were going to be in business in 1993, and you know, for yourself, and then it became a business that were manufacturing bras for, you know, the public. What's the company look like today, fast forwarding 27 years?
A lot different than what I thought it was going to be. Then the other thing that happened at this, about the time I came up with this new design, was the internet was starting to take off. And so it made it so much easier to get to people outside of the state. You know, you get online, and I mean it's just amazing now. Back then it wasn't quite what it is now, but it sure helped us to get the word out, because if I was going to start making that product in Havre, Montana, I'd probably wouldn't have near enough customers. You could maybe get a little bit into the state and whatnot, but with the internet, it just, you can get everywhere.
So your distribution now is all across the United States and international, right? You're in more than a dozen countries around the world.
Yes, we probably have, I'm guessing around 500 retailers in the U.S. That's brick and mortar and websites. And then we have several in Canada. And I think there's like 11 other countries besides the U.S. where they have at least one distributor there.
How many employees do you have now?
Not that many. We do. I have really good employees. In town here, I have actually like four.
Mm-hmm.
But I have my production gal is in Heidi. She's in Portland. And my marketing gal, who started out here for a couple years, and then she moved to Butte, and she's my marketing director, Mara. And then I had a sales gal that worked right here in town for a while, and then she moved to Colorado. And so we just set her up in Colorado. She does the same thing in Colorado that she was doing here. When we started with the Facebook page and social media stuff, that was a little above our abilities. And so we had a customer actually who used our bra that contacted us and said that she could do social media stuff for us if we were interested. And so now we have her as our social media gal, and she's in Kentucky.
And where are the bras manufactured?
That's a long story. And that was probably our biggest problem through the whole thing was manufacturing. Well, maybe I should back up here. I really didn't want to start this business. I had the patent. What I did is I went to several you know, companies who are already making bras and tried to get them to purchase my patent to make my bra. Because I thought, this is crazy. I can't do a manufacturing plant in, you know, how am I going to get things manufactured in Havre, Montana? You know, they're all down California and New York, all the manufacturers.
You were the reluctant entrepreneur.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I thought this is going to be impossible. I can't even tell you how many companies I contacted, and I got the same thing from all of them. It was basically what Bill used to call the NIH theory, not invented here. So it's like, you know, what is this crazy lady in Montana going to come up with that our big design department can't come up with? And so they said, well, you know, thank you for contacting us, but no thanks and good luck to you. And so I guess it was just enough to tick me off. And so I thought, okay, all right, I'll just make it myself then. So then I started trying to figure out how I was going to do that. I needed to find a designer that could help me make it look a little better because it was an ugly one. And so I worked with my designer, who is actually Heidi in Portland, because she used to work for Nike. With her help, we came up with a product that looked a little better. It's still not a Victoria's Secret bra, that's for sure. But it works, and that's the main thing. It works, and it's comfortable, and it's high quality. So those are my three things that it had to be. Looks doesn't mean anything to me, really. Luckily, it does to some of the other people in the company, so they keep me in check.
And now you manufacture them where?
Okay, now I started out, I had home sewers. I had like two home sewers, and one of them was the person who cut them out. I set up a table in the basement of my husband's office, and we cut all the bras out there, and she'd put them in bins and send them home with the seamstresses. And then they would sew them up and bring them back to me, and we'd try to sell them. And then we got busier, and so we needed more seamstresses, which are hard to find. And so I had to go out of town. We would ship cut bras to different towns like Glasgow and Malta and Great Falls and Shoto and Lewistown. And then it got too busy for that. And so then I had to try to find a manufacturer, but we were in the middle, kind of. We were too big for just home sewers, and we were too small for the big manufacturers in the U.S. because they all wanted minimums, and we couldn't reach those minimums. And then a lot of manufacturers were closing down also, so it was harder to find. And we finally found one in Puerto Rico. And we could still have on our label made in USA because Puerto Rico's a part of the U.S. And so that worked for a while. It was because it was a smaller manufacturer, but bigger than the home sewers. So we had them. And then at that time, we were probably there 3-4 years. And then Oprah said something about the bra on her show. And we had to all of a sudden make a lot more bras. And they could not handle the numbers that we needed. So we ended up finding one in Mexico. And that's where we've been ever since. And Mexico does actually a pretty awesome job.
I know you've shared this story many times, but you have to tell our listeners about that fateful day in May 2005 when Oprah gave her ringing endorsement of your sports bra on her show in a segment that was entitled Losing Weight with Oprah. So a lot of people were listening to that segment. And what happened that day?
Well, that was quite the day. Across from the office is a Radio Shack. And so I went over to Radio Shack and said, is there any way you can get me the feed from New York? Because I knew it was going to air. We had no idea what she was going to say, when it was in the program or anything. But I went across, and so they got me up the feed for where it started back east. And so I'm watching this program, waiting for it, and practically watching the whole show, and nothing's coming. And it was about 20 minutes left of the program, and there was a mudslide in Manhattan, and the Oprah show got preempted. And so I didn't see it on the first airing. And I thought, I just stood there like, oh my God, all of this work to try to get to Oprah, which took me 7 years, by the way, to finally find a way to get her a bra. So I thought, oh man, this is it. Nobody's going to see this. So anyway, as it went across the country, it, you know, aired the whole program, and the phones started ringing off the hook, and it was just unbelievable.
It was that instantaneous?
Yeah, it was. And in fact, my husband was on the phone with the computer tech, and he said, oh my God, he said, you just had 250 hits on your website all at the same, on the same second. Yeah, we were inundated with calls. It was unbelievable. And the website was getting all kinds of hits. This was in May.
Yes.
And so at the end of May, we checked to see what our hits were on the website as compared to April, the month before. And in April, we had 600,000 hits on our website, which is pretty good for our little company. And in May, there were 8 million.
Well, that's the power of an Oprah, right?
Yep.
So I would be remiss if I didn't ask you. You said it took 7 years, and obviously this sort of thing doesn't happen by chance. So what's the backstory on how you finally got her to see your product?
I'm going to tell you about my husband on this, too, because I was writing her letters. I was trying all kinds of different things. I heard that she was teaching a class somewhere at some college. I even sent a letter there, trying to catch her there. And my husband said one day, he says, why do you keep trying to get to Oprah? He says, she gets millions of letters a day. You're never going to get to her. And I said, yes, I am going to get to Oprah someday. So just you hang on to your shorts, because it's going to happen. And so finally, what happened is there's a gal named Kathy Kaler, and she was the fitness consultant on the Today Show many years ago, and she had been pregnant with twins. And so when she was pregnant, her breast size, of course, got quite a bit larger, and she still wanted to be working out. And so she found my bra actually online and ordered one. And so she was using it. And then Drew Barrymore was getting ready for Charlie's Angels 1, and she hired Kathy Kaler to be her fitness consultant and get her into shape for Charlie's Angels. Kathy, of course, wanted her to jump rope, and she didn't want to, because she said it hurts her chest. She didn't want to do that. Kathy says, well, I can fix that. And so she called to get Drew Barrymore an Enel bra. And I wasn't in the office at the time when this happened. And I came in shortly after, and everybody's all excited. And they said, oh, my God, we're going to send Drew Barrymore a bra. And I said, cool. Who's Drew Barrymore? I know who she is now, and she's my favorite actress. They said she was the little girl on E.T., and then it hit me who it was. And I said, oh, my God, this is wonderful. So that happened. We got Drew Barrymore bra. Well, then she told her friend, Jeannie Triplehorn. I didn't know her either, but she's a great actress. She was the wife to Tom Cruise on The Firm. So she ordered a bra, and to get her bra, I was emailing back and forth with her publicist. And so we were trying to get the right size for her and this and that. And so I was chit-chatting with her publicist, and I said, well, how about you? Maybe you need one. And she said, I'm a D cup. She says, I could use one of those. And I said, well, let me send you one. I can't even tell you how many bras I've given away. So I sent her one. And then she emailed me, and she said, oh, this is great. This works wonderful. She said, you know, I have a sister who could really use one. And I said, oh, well, let's send your sister one. I said, because you never know when I'm going to run into somebody who knows Oprah. So I kept dropping that hint when I was talking to different people. And she came right back with an email that said, well, I know the creative publicist at O Magazine. I could check with him if you want me to. And I was just like, oh, my God. yeah, I would like that. And so she did that, and that's how I got in a connection finally to Oprah. And that's how I finally got her a bra.
We're speaking with Rennell Broughton, founder and president of Rennell Sports Bras in Havre, Montana. Production support for CanDo comes from the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives, and from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans, and from Blackfoot, providing communication solutions for Montana businesses, plus opportunities like C2M Beta, an innovation lab aimed at helping startups thrive. C2MBeta.com. So, Rennell, I want to switch gears for a minute. Is it fair to say there's a growing demand for your product?
Yeah, I think there is. I think the average size used to be like B cup, but now it's like C cup. I think even, you know, through the years, when you think back, way back when, women were smaller and were just getting bigger. If you look at a pair of shoes from back when, they were pretty small compared to now.
Do you have competitors now? Are there companies out there now that are doing what you're doing?
Yeah, I think there are. And we usually, if somebody comes out with something that says it's, you know, for high impact, large breasted women, we usually order one and check it out. And so far, they don't work as well as mine, to be honest. Not yet.
It's interesting that you built a big company. You're selling in 500 retail locations. You're on Amazon. You're in 11 foreign countries. You've never branched out into other related products. Was that purposeful?
I mean, there's other things, the other ideas that I have, but I kind of want to stay focused on this because I think you're better off when you focus on one thing and make it as good as it can possibly be.
Well, you do what you do best. I mean,
yeah.
You started from scratch 27 years ago, reluctantly. You tried to sell the patent to someone else. They didn't want it. You started a business.
Right.
You found distributors, you know, in Puerto Rico and Mexico. You had to learn, you know, on the job how to build a company and how to build distribution and all those sorts of things. What advice would you give to a new entrepreneur who also is starting a business from scratch? What are the main lessons you've learned?
Not have a big ego, because you're going to get told no and you're crazy many times. And you just have to have that belief. It's like I said, I would always tell myself, I can't be the only one. There's too many women in the world. I can't be the only one. And so you know that there's other women out there with the same problem. And what a great thing is if you could find them and help them and get them what they need. Probably the best thing in the world is all the testimonials that I've gotten. It wasn't easy. You have to constantly be thinking, trying to figure out how to do things. I said, let's put an ad in 17 magazine. Just a little 2-inch by 2-inch ad in the classified section. And say, free brochure, sports bra for larger breasts, blah, blah, blah. And I said, 17 magazine would be great because kids these days, their parents give them everything. Anything they want, they're going to beg for it and they're going to get it. So this is what we do. We get to them and then they go beg their parents. And then I thought that was a great idea. So we put this little ad in for $2,000. It ran one time in 17 magazine. So all these young girls got on there and called to get their free brochure because it didn't cost them anything to call us. And we got so many calls, no sales. It was just they got something for free, so that's what they did. They get on the phone and so it cost us the $2,000 for the ad, it cost us for the calls we got, it cost us for all the brochures we sent, all the postage to send them out. So that was a lesson learned real quick. But you gotta, you know, I had to try it.
Can you tell me what your bras are made of, what styles you have, and also, can they be worn on a daily basis for non-sports purposes?
Yes, absolutely. We started out with the Anel sports bra, and that's our main staple. Then I knew that I wanted like a really comfortable everyday style bra that could be used for low impact type stuff, but it's really, really comfortable and still hold you well. And so we came out with the Anel Lite was our next style. And the Anel Lite, L-I-T-E, it's made with a little bit stretchier fabric. It's cut a little lower in the back and the front. And it also gives more of a, instead of the compression and flattening the breasts out, it has a little bit more shape to it. So it's easily worn under T-shirts like a regular bra. Like I said, it's still a sports bra, but it's for low impact. You don't want to run in it. And what we've discovered from that is, well, I kind of knew it all along because I was designing something that I wanted to wear every day. And it is extremely comfortable. You can wear it every day, no problem. And it's almost like not wearing a bra, which is saying something. Only women understand what that feels like. And then the third one that we just came out with not too long ago, we took the, because there's several women who like the racer back style, and the Anel Sport is the full back. And the full back basically is about, that's the like the best support you can possibly get. But some women still really love that racer back. And so we did one in a racer back, and I'm not a racer back fan myself, but we had enough customers that wanted it, so we went ahead with it, and it's selling pretty well. Not as good as the sport, that's our top seller, but I just feel like it is a little bit less support than the sport, but a lot of women are loving it because that's the style they want. So we have those three styles right now.
Rennell, people come, women come in all shapes and sizes. Do you do custom orders?
Actually, we do. We don't do a lot of them. When you say all shapes and sizes, you're not kidding, because everybody is different, everybody. And you may get somebody who has a very tiny rib cage, but very large breasted. And that woman has one heck of a time trying to find a sports bra or any bra actually that fits her right. And so we can do things like maybe she's our sizes run 00 through 8. So maybe her breasts are fitting into a size 2, but her rib cage is more like a size 1 or even a 0. So we could take like a size 2 bra and put a 0 rib cage in it for her or something like that. There's lots of different things that the custom order gal can do. So we try to help as many women as possible.
Is your staff primarily female?
Mostly, yes. Pretty much we have one male actually who works in town here who does the shipping end of it. All the bras are made in Mexico. But I don't ship them to the retailers or anything like that from there. I have everything shipped to Haver. We actually check every bra when it comes in. We measure it, make sure everything is correct, look for any flaws, anything like that. If there's any flaws, we make it a second. So after we quality check everything, then we tag it and package it. And so everything is shipped from Haver to all the retailers.
Does your husband play an active role in the company?
Yes. That's actually one thing that that I always tell people it's really, really, really smart to marry your accountant. He's my accountant, so he takes care of all the money stuff, which is wonderful because I'm the innovator. That's not my bag.
Customer service is always an important part of a business like this, particularly yes. when you're located in, Havre, Montana. What do you do about returns or problems that customers have? How do you handle that?
We do several different things. It's kind of on a trial and error basis sometimes. And we, add little messages on our invoice or something to, if you have questions on the size, call this number. And we have recently added where I think they can do like FaceTime conversation with customers. That's really big with me. I tell all my employees that talk to customers on the phone, I tell them I want that customer to think they just got done talking to their best friend by the time you guys are done talking. So we really work hard on customer service.
Today, for products like yours, testimonials are critical. People really rely on them. So what kind of testimonials have you had for your sports bras?
Way more than I ever thought I was going to get. Testimonials aren't just good for other customers, they're good for me. Because there were times when I thought, oh my God, what am I doing here? I don't know if I can keep doing this. And then I'd get a testimonial of somebody saying, oh my God, this changed my life. This is the most wonderful thing. And boy, I was all revved up again, ready to go. So they were really important for me too. And I actually felt kind of like, oh man, I should do more testimonials for other companies. Because I had no idea that what kind of a difference that makes when you see a good testimonial. It can, it helps other customers. It helps everybody working in the company. It helps me. It's just amazing how many we've gotten, and it's been a huge boost.
So tell me what the future holds for Enel.
Basically, keep going the way we are and keep trying to build. Get more women educated as to that there's actually product out there for them, and the big thing to me is I would love to get to figure out a way to get to the younger high school age girls, because those are the ones that they start to develop, and then pretty soon they're gonna drop out of sports. I need to somehow get to them, so that I can keep them going.
Well, Renell, that sounds like it's your next challenge, and based on your past history, I think you'll be able to figure out what you need to do. Thank you for joining me today and sharing your fascinating story. It was great talking with you.
Yeah, no problem. I enjoyed it.
I appreciate your listening to Can Do Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs. Produced by Peter Hoag and Beth Ann Austin in association with Montana Public Radio. For comments, recommendations for future guests, or general information, please go to mtpr.org. There you can also find previous guest contact information and content from all our shows. Join us next time when our guest will be another Montana entrepreneurial leader. Once again, I'm Arnie Sherman wishing you peace and prosperity.